for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, November the 23rd, 1984. Thanksgiving weekend deliverance and teaching seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Morning speaker is Robert Cameron.
Hallelujah. Lord, do you love him this morning?
Amen.
How many really love Jesus?
That's what God is looking for today.
Amen.
His hour will come and now is when they that worship me must.
Amen.
Worship me in
your spirit.
And it's true.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is looking for lovers this morning,
will you?
Those that will come within the veil and worship him in spirit.
Hallelujah.
And in truth. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song, Sweet Jesus.
Oh,
I love you. There's no one above you. I'll worship and praise you. Sweet Jesus, I love you, man.
Sweet Jesus, I love you.
Of the heart are far off.
Yeah.
But he wants you to confess it this morning.
Yeah.
My wife knows I love her. But every now and again I have to hold her in my arms and say, honey, I love you. It does her good. It does me good. Listen, the Lord wants you to tell him this morning,
amen.
Sweet Jesus,
I love you.
There's no one above you. Not
hallelujah.
The ministry. Not the family. Not anything. There's no one
above you.
God will have no other God before him.
Amen.
Whatever that God is
this
morning. And we need to realize that.
Hallelujah.
Worship and praise.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Sweet Jesus.
I love you.
He wants us to confess it before principalities and powers. He wants us to confess it before men and angels this morning that we love Jesus. Because St. Augustine once said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and do as you please. What he meant was if you love him with all your heart, you'll do as he pleases.
Amen.
And I believe every demon in hell begins to tremble when we begin to confess to Jesus that we love him. If we love Jesus in a love relationship, it's going to happen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be set free.
Glory.
Follow here and amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand and sing it this morning.
Sweet Jesus, I love you.
Oh, yes, Lord. There's no one above you.
There's no one above you.
Worship and praise you.
above you.
Hallelujah.
Sweet.
Jesus, I love you. There's no one above you.
Simple song. Well, the gospel is simple.
Amen.
And yet it's profound. Hallelujah.
That's right.
You and I are inclined to complicate things.
That's right.
We get these big words and we make it all difficult for people to understand, but the gospel is simple. The gospel could be said in two words: come and go. Come, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel. And listen this morning. This is a simple song, but it's profound. I want more of Jesus.
Amen.
More and
yes,
more and more.
Hallelujah.
I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before.
Amen.
Some folks say, well, I'm satisfied with Jesus. That perhaps is true. But someone has said we're satisfied with an unsatisfied satisfaction.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, we've enjoyed Jesus last night. But this is a new day.
Amen.
The Bible says his blessings are new
every
morning.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. And the blessing is new every morning. Hallelujah. There's enough of Jesus to bless you, brother. There's plenty of Jesus to bless you, sister. I want more of Jesus.
Amen.
More and more and more.
Glory.
I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before.
Glory.
I want more of his great love.
Hallelujah.
Rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus. So what? So I'll give him
more
of me. If you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit this morning, there's plenty for you.
Hallelujah.
Let's sing it.
I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before.
Amen.
I want more of his great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. Oh, I want more of his great love, which I full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more.
Let's sing again.
Oh, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me.
Oh, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Call upon his name.
Hallelujah!
Show brother,
thank you,
thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
There's never a reason strong enough for not praise him alone. Whenever the going's getting tough, you've got to keep praising the Lord. Praise him, you know it for sure. Everything's working together for you. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord. There's never a reason strong enough for not praising the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you've got to keep praising the Lord. Praise him, you know it for sure. Everything's working together. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord.
There's never a reason strong enough for not praising the Lord. How many of you are here this morning and you're a little bit weary? How many of you have had problems with that old devil last night and, you know, different things? You maybe had an argument with your husband or all these. Well, of course, you people maybe don't argue with your husband or wife.
Yeah.
Never. Well, that's still no reason for not praising the Lord.
That's right.
I don't care how you feel, it's got nothing to do with feelings.
That's right.
Praising God is a command, not an option. There's never a reason strong enough for not praising the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you've got to keep praising
the Lord.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Praise him, you know that you should.
Hallelujah.
For everything's working together for good. Praise him, you could never afford
Hallelujah, Lord.
To ever stop praising
Lord.
the Lord. Amen.
There's never a reason strong enough for the praise of the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you've got to keep praising the Lord.
Amen. No
slave. Everything's working together. Praising you can never afford. You'll ever stop praising the Lord. There's never a reason strong enough for a praise of the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you've got to keep praising the Lord. Praise him, you know you should. Everything's working together. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord. Praise him, you know you should. Everything's working together for good. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord.
Why don't you praise him?
You know it's the truth. Everything's working together for good. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord.
Why don't you praise him?
You know it's the truth. Everything's working together for good. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord.
There's a reason strong enough for not praising the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you've got to keep praising the Lord.
And then you'll praise him,
you know it's the truth.
Everything's working together for good. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord.
Why don't you praise him?
You know that you should. Everything's working together for good. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising
the Lord. One more time. Why don't you praise him?
You know that you should. Everything's working together for good. Praise him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord. All upon his name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, bless the Lord. Glory. Praise and magnify.
Abraham, Messiah, and Amor, and Amor,
oh, thank you, Jesus.
Abraham, and Amor, and Amor, and Amor, and Amor.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Worship, oh, heart, is what you desire, Lord. Our worship, oh, heart, is what you
worshipful heart, a worshipful heart.
Praise the Lord. It's what you desire, Lord. A worshipful heart is what you require, Lord.
An action.
A heart that is open to hear your still voice. Give me a worshipful heart. You know, that's what the Lord's looking for this morning. Amen. Let's get worship. Let's have a worshipful heart this morning as we get on the screen. Do we have an accent? We thought our best Arkansas today. A worshipful heart is what you require, Lord. A worshipful heart is what you desire, Lord. A worshipful heart is what you require, Lord. A
a heart that is open to hear your still voice. Give me a worshipful heart. Hallelujah.
A worshipful heart is what you desire, Lord. A worshipful heart is what you require, Lord.
You can't serve without worshiping, and you can't be a server unless you're really worshiping. You can't worship without serving. You can't serve without worshiping. Can you say amen? Before you can be a worker for God, you must first learn to be a worshiper of God. Because in worship, God brings you in the intimate places of His presence. But God begins to reveal His secrets unto those that love Him and fear Him. As we worship God, we get, there's a word we use in Scotch, you get far bend, you get well in with God. God brings you into the banqueting house, and His banner over us is love. He brings you into the love chamber. There He makes love to you, and you make love to Him. That's worship. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. But one verse is, and Him only shall thou serve. You can't serve without worshiping. You can't serve without worshiping first. We must learn to worship her, to be a worshiper before we can be a worker. Let's learn that lesson today. Because only when we know Him, like Paul said, I know Him. That word know is an intimate term. To know Him like a husband and wife relationship. Only when you know Him can you really do something for Him. Out of love. Not out of duty. Not out because you're religious, because you love Him. You want to do it. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing one song before we change the order of the service. My heart is a-dancing, my spirit is free. Jesus came along and by His power has lifted me from a life of bondage into liberty.
Hallelujah.
Giving me a reason to rejoice. Taking all the sadness, put within a song, a melody of gladness that lasts the whole day long. My heart is a-dancing, my spirit is free. Free to worship Him forevermore.
Is your heart a dancing this morning?
My heart is a dancing, my spirit is free. Jesus came along, by his power has lifted me. My life on the way into liberty. With me there is a new joy. He's taken all my sadness, put in a song. A melody of gladness to last the whole day long. My heart is a dancing, my spirit is free. Free to worship him forevermore.
Oh, yeah.
My heart is a dancing, my spirit is free. Jesus came along and by his power lifted me. From my bondage into liberty. In a song, a melody of gladness to last the whole day long. My heart is dancing, my spirit is free, free to worship him forevermore.
Bound by religion and formality, oh, how my heart longs to really be set. Jesus came, glory to his precious name, set my heart to dancing, and I've never been the same.
Amen.
My heart is a dancing, my spirit is free. Jesus came along, and by his power has led me.
I'm a bondage into liberty. Give me a reason to rejoice. Taking all my sadness, put within a song, a melody of gladness to last the whole day long. My heart is dancing, my spirit is free, free to worship him forever.
Oh, sing it one more time.
Now my heart is dancing, my spirit is free. Jesus came along, by his power has led me. From life of bondage into liberty. Giving me a reason to rejoice. He's taken all my sadness, put within a song. A melody of gladness to last the whole day long. My spirit is free, free to worship him forevermore, free to worship him forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Praise the
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give Jesus a clap.
Oh, yes, Lord. That clock is spinning on wheels. Amen? When you're enjoying yourself, you'll find the time goes a whole lot quicker. When you're enduring it, that clock never seems to move. But I don't read it. I was telling the folks the other night, you know, I'll repeat it again today. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that a gospel service should be conducted like a funeral service. Hallelujah. Jesus came. It is, I come that you might have life. Zolai, hallelujah, and that you may have it more abundantly. Aren't you glad for Jesus this morning? Aren't you glad that we have joy? Joy that is everlasting joy? You know, joy and happiness, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. Something happens good to you, you feel happy. But joy is there, whether you feel good at times and whether things go wrong, there's something there about joy. There's a deep-seated joy in your spirit that'll see you through the darkest night. Hallelujah. That's why we're here this weekend, is to be encouraged, to be uplifted. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad this morning? God wants us to be overcomers. That's what I want to share this morning.
But I'm going to tell you a funny story. People say, you Cameron's, you're always cutting up in church. Now, that's an American expression, isn't it? You're always smiling and be funny in church. Why didn't you get serious? Well, let me tell you something this morning. I'm very serious in what we're doing. We're very serious. Why, we wouldn't be here. But we're not sad. Hello, you can be serious without being sad. Many Christians don't know that, and they're serious about it, but they're sad about it. It reminds me of the story of the preacher in Scotland decided he was going to have some revival, and he was one of these dried up Pentecostals. You ever have them over here? Maybe you don't have them, but we have some. And as a matter of fact, we have quite a few. Our dried up Pentecostals are worse than your Presbyterians, so you'll know. So he decided he would get outside in the sidewalk and give out some invitations to these revival meetings. And he's standing there with his black suit and a black hat and a long face to match. And he was giving out these leaflets. And this lady coming home from work one night, and she was saying, he handed her one of the leaflets and said, honey, he said, I'm going to invite you into these meetings. We're having revival meetings, and, you know, we're having a good time. And she took a look at him, took a look at the leaflet. She said, excuse me, sir, aren't there many more people like you in there? She said, yes, quite a few of us. She says, well, keep it. I've enough troubles of my own. Hallelujah. Now, that's not the funny story I was going to tell you. That was free of charge. I had a funny story the other day, and, you know, it's got nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about this morning. But, you know, sometimes we need to laugh. You know, the song goes, laugh a while and give your face a rest. And we get so serious sometimes, we need to smile sometimes. Amen? For years, we've gone about somber and dull, and that's not the way Jesus went. Whenever Jesus came to town, everybody went to see where Jesus was. And children went where Jesus was. Children don't go after dull people. I found that out. Children will not follow dull, dismal, dreary people. But whenever Jesus went, the children followed him, and he would tell them stories. Well, I'm going to tell you a story here today. This preacher in California was noted to be one of the greatest fishermen in the state. He caught more fish than anybody else. He went, you know, nobody knew where he caught them. He came home every time he went fishing. He came home with buckets of fish, beautiful big fish, and everybody was jealous of him. And you know, everybody wanted to know where he got the fish. And one day, unknown to him, one of the men in his church was the game warden for this particular river that he fished in. And he said to him, "Come on out with me, and we'll do some fishing." And so the game warden said, "Well, I'll find out where he's getting all this fish, because I want to know his secret." So out they went. And lo and behold, they went to his lake that he was in charge of. So he sat there on the boat and he saw the preacher. And underneath the preacher's feet, he took out a big stack of dynamite. And he lit the dynamite, he threw it in the water, and all the fish began to belly to the top. And he just got his pike up and put them in the box. And boy, you had the fish, you know, you had the fish all in the boat there in his cooler. And he said to the game warden, he said, "What do you think of that? Isn't that great?" He says, "Oh my, I don't know what to say, Professor." He says, "I'm the game warden for this lake. And I'm afraid when I get home, when we get back to shore, I'm going to have to arrest you. I'm going to have to take you in for doing that. It's illegal what you're doing." The minister thought a few minutes, and he took up another stack of dynamite, lit it, threw it under the game warden's seat. He said, "Now listen, brother." He said, "What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there visiting? Are you going to fish as well?" Any Germans here today? You'll get in about 5 minutes. Now, that's got nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about this morning. Praise God. I just thought I'd throw that in. I thought it was funny. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I would like a glass of water if there is one available. Hallelujah. I believe this is one of the most popular scriptures in the Bible. And I believe the Lord has led me to share this with you this morning. How to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for, is to learn how to be an overcomer. We're talking about deliverance. We're talking about living in the kingdom. Kingdom principles. And one of the kingdom principles is being an overcomer. Can I hear an amen? And I'm going to share the scripture with you. And we'll see where we go from there. Hallelujah. Verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines." Or you Americans call it the Philistines. Now, we were there first, so we'll call it Philistines. Amen? Scotland was on the go long before America. "Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them.
And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Take note of that. And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were rehearsed which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Hey, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. And David said furthermore, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord, for your word, for it is a light into our path, Lord. It's a chart and compass to life. Father, we stand on your word. Lord, if you said it, we believe it, and that settles it. Now, Lord, as we just share a few minutes this morning, we just pray that the hearer will activate faith in their life, that they may receive what you have to say today, and that they activate faith in, as they activate faith in their heart, Lord, they shall be blessed, Lord. Faith shall be, Lord, caused to be enlarged, Father, and faith shall arise in their lives. And we shall learn how to be an overcomer in you. For Father, surely you have made it wonderfully possible in your plan of salvation, in your kingdom principles, Father, for us to be an overcomer. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus. And everybody says, Amen. Hallelujah. How to be an overcomer. How many like to be overcomers? Well, it seems to me that the church for so long we've been in the doldrums. You know what the doldrums were? The doldrums was when the wind would cease in the sailing boat days. God knows this, I'm sure. In the days of the sailing boats, when the wind would die down, there'd be sheltered areas in the sea when the wind would just dissipate, and there'd be no wind to fill the sails, and the sailing boats would just dawdle about in the doldrums, going nowhere fast. And it seems to me that the church for years has been in the doldrums. We've been going nowhere fast. We've been sitting in our little corners. We've been sitting in our little cliques. And our little niches. And we'll be singing songs like, Hold the fort, for I am coming. What a song. Hold the fort, for I am coming. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that God tells us to hold any fort. P.B. Bliss wrote this song, and he wrote it with a thought in mind of one of the American battles. But let me tell you something. Listen to the word of this song. Listen to one of the verses that goes in this song. It's talking about the devil. See the mighty host appearing. Satan leading on. Mighty man around us falling, courage, oh, taking a refuse. And then we begin to sing, Hold the fort, for I am coming. Let me tell you something today. We don't sing that song anymore. Right. Neither should you. If you sing it, then quit it. Amen. Because it's not a song of faith. It's not a song for an overcomer. It's not a song for the church of God today. God doesn't want us to hold any fort. God doesn't want us to stand in a little corner with the gates of hell, with our concept of the gates of hell coming against us and hitting us over the head. God wants his church to take its place. God wants his church to take its rightful place, its rightful authority, and he wants us to become an overcomer. Can I hear an amen? Do you think God died and Jesus came and shed his blood in Calvary to make a bunch of misfits and to create a bunch of nobodies and nothings? He used to sing that song as well, Lord, to be nothing, nothing. Simply to rest at his feet. What a lazy, lackadaisical thought. simply to rest at his feet. I talked to a girl in Virginia Beach recently in a restaurant. She says, I'm having such a wonderful time with Jesus. I'm just waiting for the Lord to come. I said, what a selfish attitude. I'm just waiting for the Lord to come. And I was telling someone the other day, you know, the trouble with the church, since we've been saved, the most of us, for years in our Christian walk, and some of you older ones as well, for 40 years perhaps, since the day we've been saved, all we've been doing is getting ready to leave. Getting ready to leave. And we've stayed in that impasse. We've stayed in that condition of half-packed. How many has ever traveled and you've been in that situation of being half-packed? Well, we're in that all the time. You know, we flew in from Arkansas last week on Monday night. We got in and we had Monday night and Tuesday enough to get our clothes washed, and we flew out early Wednesday morning to come here. And I know what that feeling is, and we know what that feeling is to be half-packed. You're at home, and yet you're not at home because you know you're going to wait shortly, so your case is half-packed, and you're not settled down. How many know what I'm talking about? And the church is being like that. Well, you know, we can't be part of the world. We don't want to be prosperous in business because God's coming any moment now. We don't want to get involved in politics because Jesus is coming any moment now. You know what we've done? We've left the field wide open to the devil. So what you've got? You've got a bunch of devils in the White House. But thank God that's changing. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. President Reagan was voted in for another term, and this 4 years is going to be critical in the life of the church. I'll tell you, it's not a time to sit back in our laurels. It's not a time to sit back in our seats and fold our arms and warm a pew like bumps in a log. It's time for the church to do something the next 4 years to make its impact felt in this scene of time. People say America's going down the tube. I don't believe it 1 minute. I believe this is the greatest nation that the sun has ever risen upon. I believe God is going to use this nation in unprecedented fashion, even today, with all its faults. 90% of world missions is supported financially by the United States of America. Now, do you think God's going to cut off his source of support? Do you think God's going to take that 90% support and throw it down the tube? Not on your life, honey. God has got a purpose for the United States of America. God has got a purpose for Britain. God has got a purpose for Ireland. God has got a purpose for this world. And I'll tell you, it's not in just destroying it. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? We've been getting ready to leave, but God wants you and I this morning. And wants to get it indelibly printed in our hearts and in our minds. He wants us to be an overcomer. He doesn't want us splitting off somewhere in a secret rapture. He wants us to move into the kingdom of God. He wants our impact to be felt right here and now. The Holy Ghost is a person of the now. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But the devil, he gets us relegating ourselves to the past, thinking about the good old days. I'm going to tell you something. There may have been good old days. But I don't know. I think they weren't as good as the days we're living in just now. Transport and to get people to different places wasn't as easy. It's never been as easy as it is today. And different powers and microphones and tape recorders, the word of God has been spread all over the world with magnetic tape. And that you couldn't have done that 40 years ago. So I don't know what they're talking about the good old days. I'm going to tell you something. I like to be living in the good old now. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? People say that, so I wish I was alive in General Booth's day. I wish I was alive in D.L. Moody's day. I wish I was alive in A.A. Allen's day. I'm going to tell you something. If you've been alive then, chances are you've been dead now. It's a possibility. But I'm going to tell you something. We're alive in this day. And this is the greatest day that ever was. And I fully believe in my spirit that this is the day for the overcomer. Hallelujah. I believe in my heart that this is a day that God could do more with lesser men in a greater day than he could have done with greater men in a lesser day. I'll run that by you one more time. God could do more with lesser men in a greater day than he could have done with greater men in a lesser day. And you don't maybe feel like Billy Graham's or these great men of God, but I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, if you get in tune with God and get the Holy Ghost upon you in such a way that people can be healed as you walk up the street while they're touching your shadow, then I believe God is restoring back the church to its original form. And it's a church of glory. It's a church of power. It's a church of gladness. It's a church of peace. It's a church of joy. Can I hear an amen? And the sooner you and I begin to believe that and begin to move in it and begin to see God, it's a church of deliverance. Hallelujah. We need the balance. Hallelujah. It's a clean church. It's a church of holiness. Can I hear an amen? And it's a church of overcomers. Praise the Lord. A church of overcomers. I'm going to tell you something. You maybe don't feel like these great men, but you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and I fully believe this. One man with God is a majority. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? So I don't care what you're facing. How to be an overcomer this morning. Let's take a look at the background of this story. David, Jesse, David's father Jesse said to him, "Hey, your brothers are fighting the Philistines down in the Valley of Elah. Take a look down and see how they're getting on. And take some bread and cheese and give some to the captains and sweeten them up, and you'll maybe get to see the brothers in the front row there." So off he went, left his sheep with someone, left his harp, told his friend, "Hey, I'll be back to write some more songs as soon as I see what's going on in the battle." Hallelujah. He was a songwriter, you see. So off he went. And as he's standing there talking to his brethren and talking to some of the men, this gigantic, humongous person comes out to the ranks of the Philistine camp. Goliath. Now, Goliath, the Hebrew word for Goliath means exile. Exile. And I got to thinking about that one day, and I thought, well, just as Lucifer was exiled out of heaven, he is one of Lucifer's emissaries, and he had the dice loaded against him from the start. Hallelujah. But he was so thick and stupid, he didn't know that. He was so blinded by power and by egotism that he didn't know it. He was 10 feet tall. He was over 6 feet wide. That's a big dude, isn't it? And he was standing there. He presented himself. Now, this had gone on for 40 days. And there was no battle in progress, because I'll tell you why. The Philistines were full of armor, and they could only fight in level places. And they had the different weapons and spears, and they could only fight in open spaces. The Israelites were bow and arrow men and slingshot people, and they were all on the other side of the Valley of Elah. There were mountains and rocks, and they were all hiding in the rocks. That's the truth of the matter. So therefore, the Israelites were afraid to come down and fight the Philistines in a flat ground, because they would have been annihilated. And the Philistines couldn't fight the Israelites on the rocky ground on the mountaintop, because they would have been annihilated because of the armor and because of the weight of the armor. They couldn't move too fast, so they would have an impasse. So all they could do is get one of the superior warriors to come out there and stand and begin to shout something. And this would go on for 40 days. And after a while, it kind of gets on your nerves, doesn't it? Fear's got a funny way of gripping the saint. And now I'm talking about how to be an overcomer today. And one of the things that hinders us from being an overcomer is allowing fear to take possession in our lives. And after 40 days, I'll tell you something. He shouted, and this is what he shouted, and you can read it in verse 9. And I'll just read it for you. Don't look at it at the moment. And this is, in essence, what he said. "If you beat me, I'll send out your best man. And if you beat me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. But," now he's 10 feet tall, 12 feet tall, 6 feet wide. "But if I beat you, you're going to be a slave to me the rest of your life." Now, the situation looked pretty impossible, didn't it? But I'm going to tell you something. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, after 40 days and 40 nights, listen. This is, if you read it in verse 16, it says, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening. He presented himself morning and evening." Now, you folks are so positive. You're so with it. You're so full of the Holy Ghost. The devil doesn't come and try and tempt you. Well, you'll have to forgive me. We're just in the forefront of praise. We're in the vanguard of praise and worship. But now and again, the devil tries to get a hold of us too. And I've got news for you. If the devil hasn't tried to get a hold of you sometime, there's something wrong with you somewhere. Because when you begin to stump on his territory, he begins to get frustrated. And I'll tell you, but one thing the devil hates in this day is the praise is coming back into the church. Hallelujah. He can't stand that. He can stand lethargy. He can stand apathy. He can stand laxity. But when the church of God begins to praise God, begins to get on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, he gets so mad, he gets so frustrated, because he knows the potential. He knows the power and praise, because he used to be the leader of praise in heaven. Lucifer, one name for him was the anointed cherub. Oh, he knows what anointing is all about. The Bible says that he dwelt in Mount Zion. He dwelt in the praise. Hallelujah. And he knows what praise is all about. And when the church begins to get his praising wings on, begins to get his praise garments on, he's frustrated, and he begins to take out the nasty. And he'll come against you. And we're in the forefront of praise, I believe. God has sent the cameras over to this country and all over the world with a message of praise. How to be set free in the Holy Ghost, to praise God with every fiber, every facet of our being. And the devil tries to come and get us sometimes. And this is how he does it. You go to your bed at night. I had one sister say this morning. You go to your bed at night and you put your head in the pillow. And instead of switching off, you switch on. How many know what I'm talking about? You're tired, but all of a sudden you find yourself wide awake. And that old devil is jumping in your cage. And he's trying to tell you you're not going to make it.
I've arranged circumstances you're not going to see this day through. I'm going to shut the doors. This is what he says to me. We're going to close the door for your ministry. You're not going to write any more songs. You're not going to be able to preach anymore. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And before long, if you give place to them, you're sitting there in your bed, you're trembling. How many know what I'm talking about? If you don't, hold on. One of these times, you'll know. I like these new Christians when they get new saved. You know, oh, brother, praise God, I'm on the mountaintop. Everything's rosy in the garden, and I feel so good I could never come out of this place. Just hold on. Just hold on. Coming attraction. We used to have that in the cinema back home. Coming attraction. The one that was coming next week. Well, this coming attraction, Valley Experience number one. Hallelujah. That's when we learn. That's when we mature in the valley. Didn't you know that? He's not only the God of the mountaintop. He's the lily of the valley. And if he deems it necessary for you to have some character building is never done in the mountaintop. It's done in the workshop. Hallelujah. It's done in the valley. But he'll bring you through the valley, so there's no need to worry about it too much. Hallelujah. And this is what happens. Oh, I'm going to close the door for your ministry. And you're sitting there trembling. But I'll tell you, folks, listen, the greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Can I hear an amen? And he presented himself every morning. This is another time the old enemy tries to get a hold of us. You're sound asleep. Everybody's sleeping. Even the birds are sleeping in the wee hours of the morning. And all of a sudden, you're wide awake in the darkness. Everybody else, your wife's sleeping, your husband's sleeping, the children are sleeping. Everything's pitch dark. And the devil, the usurper, the robber and the thief, he comes and tries to whisper in your ear, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're going to go under. But God sent us here this morning to tell you something. Listen, when the devil comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, you know, in the original, there was no punctuation. And we've often translated that scripture, when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. But I'm going to change that a little bit, if you may. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. Hallelujah. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that the Bible says the devil was like a flood. I read in the Bible that the sound of many waters was the sound of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, folks, we need to realize that. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. God has sent us here to tell you this. Listen, no matter what that devil would try and put in your ear, put in your spirit, greater is he that is within you. You can be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Can I hear an amen? They told the story. David said, hey, what's happening here? You know, David belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. And the Benjamites were very skilled slingshots. I was studying recently, and they figured that if a Benjamite could get within 50 yards of his opponent, he could put a stone to any spot he wanted in that body with either arm. They were ambidextrous. And I can imagine what David was thinking. Hey, what's going to happen to this guy? If I could get within 50 feet of that big dude, I'll get between the armor on his chest and the helmet on his head. Somewhere between that space, that big mouth there, I'll hit this place and I'll kill him. Someone has said when David threw the sling and the stone that hit Goliath's head, nothing like that ever entered into Goliath's head before. Hallelujah. David said, hey, who is this that would defy the armies of the living God? I'm going to share something with you today. When the enemy comes against you, he's not just coming against you personally, but he's coming against one of God's children. You see, he wasn't just coming against Israel. He was coming against the armies of the living God. And when that devil begins to come against the children of the living God, I've got news for you. Your daddy is going to fight for you. See, when I was at school, I was a little skinny one. It's hard to believe that, I know, but I was real skinny. I was thin. And I was a little guy, and some of these big bullies would try and take advantage of me. And I would say, I'm going to get my dad to you. And then I'd forget about it. And then 2 or 3 days later, I would see this bully with his dad, and his dad would be, 6'5", 300 pounds, and my dad's only a small fella. And I would say, oh, thank God. And I'm going to tell you something. Our Heavenly Father is well able to fight for you, brother, to fight for you, sister. We don't have to fight with the devil. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Don't you get entangled with him. He's a usurper. You know what a usurper is? A person who uses authority that he doesn't rightly have. But he's a trickster. And he will get into your spirit and you allow him the authority You alone to have authority. I'll tell you, we need to realize that greater is he that is within us. We can be overcomers. David, and so finally David said, well, I'll go and fight with him. So somebody went and rehearsed them in the ears of Saul, the Bible says. And, you know, God's got a sense of humor, hasn't he? He must have before he created some of us. Hallelujah. Good one. The Bible says in verse 31, and when the words were heard as David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Now, I want you to picture this. It's real funny. Saul's in his tent. Saul is head and shoulders above everybody else. And all of a sudden, someone comes in and said, hey, there's one of the farm boys from the hills of Bethlehem. He's going to fight Goliath. And I can imagine Saul's imagination running. He's walking to and fro in his tent, full of perplexity and anxiety. And he's thinking to himself, ooh, it must be one of these big farm boys from the hills of Bethlehem. One of these big farm boys from the hills of Tennessee. And I can imagine him thinking, well, I wonder if he'll manage to get in my tent here. And he's looking up at the doorpost. And, you know, he'd had probably a 7'5" doorpost that, probably the size of this roof. And I can imagine him looking up and saying, I wonder if he managed to get into this tent. And all of a sudden, psst, down here, sir. And here he was, 5'2", eyes of blue. And you know, the color must have drained out of Saul's face. Because in verse 32 he said, hey, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Never fear, I'm here. Hallelujah. You know, dynamite comes in small packages. And don't you go by the side. Don't you think, oh, well, I'm nothing. I'm little in God's eyes. Little is much when God is in it. And David knew how to be an overcomer. He says, listen, I'll fight with him. Saul said, you can't fight with him. You're but a youth. And he's been a man of war from his youth. But David was an overcomer. And I'm going to give you four principles of how to be an overcomer in Christ this morning. I want you to write these down in your notebooks because they'll keep you in good stead. David knew the secret of how to be an overcomer. Principle number one, confidence in God. Confidence in God.
Praise the Lord. I'll just take a drink. Here.
Confidence in God. Listen, King Saul, I'll fight with this Philistine because I'll tell you why. I've got confidence in God. I was watching my father's sheep one day, and there came a lion and a bear into the fold and took a lamb out of the fold, and I went out after him. Listen, folks, you don't run after lions and bears unless you're anointed, unless you have confidence in God. Come on now. You wouldn't catch me running after a lion with a shotgun. Of course, we don't hunt in Scotland, so, you know, we're not used to hunting, but you wouldn't get me running after a lion with a shotgun. But David ran out with his little dagger. He said, listen, King Saul, I went out after him, and I took the lamb out of his mouth, and when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and slew him. And listen, King, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Can I hear an amen? What was he saying in essence? The law that did it then will do it again. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen this morning? The law that did it then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God hasn't lost one ounce of his power. In fact, he's got more power today because the church is bigger than ever it was before. God hasn't lost one bit of intelligence. God hasn't lost one bit of sympathy towards his people. God hasn't lost one bit of love towards his church. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The law that did it then will do it again. My grandmother used to have a little plaque in our wall in Scotland. And we used to visit Granny nearly every time we were home, every day practically when we were home in Scotland, which in the last 20 years hasn't been that much. And on this little plaque on our mantelpiece used to say this, and we never forgot it. And I want you to listen to it very carefully today. Yesterday, he helped me. Today, he did the same. How long will this continue? Forever, praise his name.
Hallelujah.
You got it? Yesterday, he helped you. Today, he's done the same. How long will this continue? Forever and ever and ever. And ever, hallelujah, can I hear an amen this morning? Listen, folks, the Lord has brought you this far. I want you to put your trust in him. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That God has brought you this far.
He never would have taught you to trust in his name, and thus far have brought you to put you to shame. The Lord has brought you this far. Listen, the Lord that healed you that last time, the Lord that delivered you that last time, the Lord that met that financial need the last time, he's the same God today as he was the last time. The Lord that got you here this weekend, the Lord that's meeting your need even now, I've got good news for you. He's going to meet your need tomorrow. He's going to meet your need next week. He's going to meet your need next year. He's going to meet your need the year after. And he's going to meet your need from here on into eternity. Can I hear an amen? Because he's the same God. Confidence in God. Andre Crouch wrote a song one time, didn't he? I've got confidence. God is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me. Listen, folks. David's principle and how to be a winner for God, how to be an overcomer, was he had confidence in God. Listen, King Saul, the law that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. This guy is nothing to my father. My father knows exactly where his soft spot is. And I'll tell you, when I sling that slingshot, that stone is going to go right to the softest part in his body, and he's going to be defeated, and we're going to have the victory because God is on our side. Can I hear an amen? God has caused us to be an overcomer. Confidence in God. The law that did it then will do it again. Second principle in being a winner for God. Second principle, cunning. Cunning. And how to be an overcomer. Cunning. We need to be wise. Amen? You know, I think the church has lacked wisdom for so many years. We've climbed the chandeliers, right enough. We've climbed the walls. We've swung from the chandeliers. But what did it do? We've sat and we've sang songs like in the sweet by and by. I was in a Pentecostal church not too long ago, and I was sitting in the front row, and I knew the pastor very well, and he was looking up the hymn book to see what song he was singing, and he said, I wonder what song we'll sing tonight, and rather tongue-in-cheek, I said, I'm singing the sweet by and by, and he began to sing it. Good one, he said, we'll sing it. How on earth can we sing a song, open up a prayer service, singing a song like in the sweet by and by, the one that's singing the cowboy films, in the sweet by and by? Let me tell you something. What about the sweet here and now? People always think about pie in the sky when they die. What about some steak on the plate of Halloween? Amen? Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, we'll get to heaven. But I believe we can enjoy heaven on the way to heaven. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I believe eternity's begun now. The moment we give our life to Jesus, the moment Christ came into our hearts, eternity has begun. Can I hear an amen? And we're no more sinners, outcasts. We're sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We're sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And listen, we need to know this. When we come to church, and there's a music leader stands up here, I'm going to tell you something. We need to learn to be wise. We need to learn to be cunning. In Matthew 10 and 16, he says, I send you forth in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore as cunning as serpents, but as harmless as doves. And I believe for so many years the church has lacked its cunning. The church has come off the cutting edge. Can I hear an amen? And we've been away back there somewhere. But I'm going to tell you something. God is restoring the power back to the church. Can I hear an amen? And God is causing the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about you and I, not this beautiful building. The only important matter in here today is you and I. We are the church, living stones built up in habitation of the Lord. And God is causing the church to be one more time an overcomer, victorious, full of power, full of joy, full of the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? I send you forth in the midst of wolves. Be therefore as cunning as serpents. Listen, if we're going to preach, let's preach with cunning. Can I hear an amen? If we're going to teach, let's teach with cunning. If we're going to worship, let's worship with cunning. Amen? If we're going to praise the Lord, let's praise with cunning. If we're going to dance before the Lord, let's dance with cunning. Let's dance wisely. Can I hear an amen? I don't know, but you probably, most of you have seen this, but you go into these old Pentecostal churches and you begin to sing a fast song and some old sister takes a mad dash around the front and knocks everybody down. And I don't think that's what God's doing today. I'll be quite frank with you. And if I trample some of your toes, that's all right. So we have an expression in Scotland, if the shoe fits, wear it. I don't think God is the author of confusion. Do you believe that? And I believe when we begin to worship the Lord, we're in control of our faculties. We know exactly what we're doing. But there's something that is a love relationship in here that's when an inner man, watch when he talks about the inner man. When that inner man begins to raise his hands on the inside, there's nothing else our body can do but raise the hands with him. Hallelujah. And just praise the Lord and do it circumspectly. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us dashing off here, climbing the walls and climbing the chandeliers. God has given us an avenue where we can channel what God is doing in our lives and channel it fruitfully. Can I hear an amen? Cunning, wise. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. What kind of knowledge is he talking about? The price of homes? The price of cars? The price of Nina Shiruti suits? No. He's talking about the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The reason the church has been in the doldrums, the reason the church has been suffering from the onslaught of the devil is because of lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom, hallelujah, lack of being wise in the things of the Lord. So when we come up here to praise the Lord, when we get a music leader behind here, make sure it's somebody that knows how to flow in the Spirit. And that goes for your church as well, if there's pastors here. Make sure your music leader is filled with the Holy Ghost and he's sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. One of the things, you read it in Leviticus, one of the hindrances to being a priest was if you had a broken nose, you couldn't be in the priesthood. A broken nose. You know why? Because you couldn't smell with a broken nose. And you couldn't smell the incense. As the incense had been waved about, you wouldn't know what was happening. And I'll say, it talked about insensitivity. Insensitive to the moving of the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something, if we're going to be something for God, we have to get our noses fixed. Can I hear an amen? We have to get tuned in. We need to get sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We need to realize that, hey, we need to see the way the Spirit is going and not kick against it, but go with the flow. Hallelujah. Wise. Cunning. And finally, third point, rather, courage. First principle, how to be an overcomer, is confidence. Second principle is cunning. Third principle is courage. Courage. Courage to face the enemy. The Bible says in verse 48 that David hasted towards Goliath. He didn't mess about any time. If that had been me in the tent, you would have had to kick me out of Saul's tent and say, get at him, go for it. And I would have said, hey, just a minute, I'm waiting in the Lord. How many's ever used that cover? I'm waiting in the call, brother. Listen, there's a big 12-foot dude out there. He needs to be killed. He's disturbing the peace of the armies of the living God. You better get out there. If you're going to fight him, get out. David said he hasted towards Goliath. Courage to face your enemies. Courage to face your enemies. You know, I used to be into fishing. Brother Gordon will know this. He's the captain of a ship. When we were caught in a storm in the North Sea, for 2 years I worked in commercial fishing in the North Sea in Scotland. I'll tell you something. These seas can be wild. Amen, Gordon? I'll tell you, I was kind of smiling to myself. Last year we were in California, and they were talking about it's going to be dangerous tonight. The waves are going to be 14 feet high, and the surf is going to be 3 feet. When the winds hit the North Sea, the waves could be 50 and 60 feet high. And you don't ever get a chance to see the surf. And we sometimes would be out fishing and caught in a storm. We wouldn't know that storm, but, you know, the storm could whip up just in a minute. And we would get caught in a storm. You know what the captain of the ship would do? He would head the ship in the direction of the storm. Is that right? Amen. He would head the ship in the direction. That was the safest positional reckoning for the ship to be in, the heading for the storm. If he'd gone broadside, it would have swamped you. If you tried to run the storm out, it would have overcome you. But I'll tell you, the safest place for the ship to be is head into the storm. What am I talking about this morning? How to be an overcomer. How to have courage to face your enemy. Listen, you may be not like us, though. You may be so positive and with it. You don't take these problems and shelve them. But we do sometimes. Instead of facing the problem, we put them on the shelf. And they lie there for a few weeks. And every day they lie there, our spirits are troubled. How many know what I'm talking about? I thought so. Well, listen, God wants us to have courage to face the problem. Because finally, when your back's against the wall, I'm talking about facing that young person, that young man in your family, that young woman in your family, that son and daughter, that husband, that wife, that father-in-law, that mother-in-law. It's time we need to face the problem. Hallelujah. Because the moment you face the problem and deal with the problem, that problem's not as bad as you thought. But you and I, we go around, we shelve the problem, and every day of our lives, it troubles our spirit, we can't get free from it. I'll tell you, the moment you deal with it, you're free. Courage to face your enemy.
courage to face your enemy. If you're going to be an overcomer for God, God will, you'll have to have courage to face the enemy. And let me tell you something. God can give you that courage. You say, Brother Conrad, I don't have any courage. I can't face that problem. Well, get in tune with God. Get filled up with the Holy Ghost. Get to praising God. And I'll tell you, like David said, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. By my God. See, you have to remember, it's not only us that's dealing with the situation. It's God in us is dealing with the situation. Face the problem. Face your enemy. The courage to face your friends. Oh, yes. When you begin to move out in God, when you begin to break from the pack, and God is speaking to me about a message about breaking from the pack. Most of us like to run with the gang. Amen? We run with the pack. We run with the status quo. A black lady once told me, she said, you know, Brother Cam, what the status quo is? It's another name for the mess we're in. We run with the status quo, but God's looking for those that will stand out. Hallelujah. God's looking for those that will be an overcomer. And an overcomer doesn't go with the status quo. An overcomer stands and faces the enemy. Can I hear an amen? How to be an overcomer. God wants you to be an overcomer. God wants you to take, and when you begin to overcome, a lot of your friends will come against you and try and throw cold water upon you. David's standing there and said, hey, I'll fight with this giant. I'll fight with this giant. You can read it in verse 28. And the Bible says that Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Eliab was David's eldest brother. Now, do you know what the Hebrew word for Eliab means? God is my father. You get it this morning. The ones you're going to get the most trouble with are the ones that claim that God is their father. When you begin to move for God, some dear old sister, or young sister for that matter, is going to come and say, well, I know what you're doing, but I used to be like that, you know, but you'll lose it after a while. You'll get settled down like the rest of us. And, oh, I don't think you should do that, brother. I don't think you should do this, sister. You know, but I'll tell you something. God is looking for an overcomer. God is looking for those who will stand against even their friends. When the cameras were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, did you think that the old drunken rabble that they used to carouse with, do you think they were happy when the cameras got out of the pit? No, they weren't. It reminds me of the story of the crab. The story is of this fisherman landed some crabs one day in a basket. You know, you don't put a lid on a basket of crabs. And he laid it down the pier, and this tourist was looking there, and the fisherman started walking up the pier, and the tourist was looking, and this one crab began to get a little bit out. And she said, Mr. Fisherman, you're going to lose your crabs. And oh, no, I won't. So he kept on walking up the pier, and then this other crab just got out, and just about an inch from the top. And the tourist shouted, hey, Mr. Fisherman, you're going to lose your crabs. He says, no, I'm going to come back. I'm going to show you something. So he came back, and he said, now I want you to watch. There's about 30 crabs in the basket. Crabs? Excuse me, am I talking Scottish here? Crabs? Crabs? You know, the crawly things that go across the beach? The ones they pay about $8 for in Red Lobster? Get a near lunch there. Just watch a second. This one crab got about an inch of the top in a 29 sets of pincers. He said, the fisherman said, you see, crabs won't let one another get up. And as soon as one tries to break from the pack, they pull them back down again. So we don't need a lid in the basket. And I thought, well, that's just like our friends, isn't it? The ones you used to carouse with, you know what I'm talking about, Gordon, don't you? The ones you used to carouse with and drink with, you think they're happy when you get out the pit? You think they're happy when you get out the basket? Oh, no, they ain't. When my old granddad got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and set free from alcohol, his old drinking buddies, when they saw Michael Cameron coming down the street, they would walk across the other side of the street because they knew what Michael Cameron was going to talk about. He talked about Jesus till the day he died. In fact, the day he died, he was down in a cold February day, giving out gospel tracts beside Woolworth. On his way home, God took him, just like that. I believe that if God's going to take it, that's the best way to go. Hallelujah. And his buddies didn't want him to get out of the pack. I'll tell you, when you begin to be an overcomer for God, you're going to have to face your friends, because they'll try and pour cold water upon you. But finally, the last principle in being an overcomer for God. Confidence, cunning, courage, and the fourth principle, commitment. Commitment. Verse 29, when Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he spoke to him, he said, what you down here for, you little upstart? You're down here to see the fight. David could have said, what fight? I don't see no fight. Everybody's running off to the tent as hard as their feet can take them. But David never even argued with Eliab. All David said was, hey, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Listen, the principle in being an overcomer for God is commitment to a great cause. Oh, we're here this morning and we're enjoying the beautiful facilities. But God had to give Glenn the vision and Irma the vision. They've had to struggle through with it and the rest of their partners in order for it to come to here today. Pardon me, you know, they say success comes overnight. I don't believe that. Someone has said success comes overnight after 20 years hard graft. If you think you can be a superstar overnight without getting into the Word of God, without studying the Word of God, I'll say, if you can be a preacher, if you think you can be a preacher without knowing God and knowing His Word, even another thing coming. I'll tell you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God wants us to be committed. God wants us to be committed every day of our lives. Is there not a cause? Proverbs 29 says, without a vision, the people perish. But praise God, the other side of the coin is this. With a vision, the people flourish. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Without a vision, the people perish. But with a vision, the people flourish. Commitment to a great cause. Listen, for God wants to be committed 24 hours of every day, 7 days of every week, 4 weeks of every month. And with this story, I'll close. I'm talking about commitment. Johnny was writing to his sweetheart. 7 large pages of how much he loved her. Oh, Jean, your eyes are like jewels. Your cheeks are like red rosy apples. Your hair's like golden flax. I would do it. Your teeth are like gems. I would do anything for you. You know, I'd walk across fire. I'd walk across water. I'd come out in the cold. I'd come out in the snow and all this kind of thing. And 7 complete pages of how much he loved her. Now, I'm talking about commitment. At the end of the 7th page, he signs off, love, Johnny. P.S. Postscript. See you on Friday if it's not raining. That's commitment. Oh, Lord, I'll go across the street and across the sea. Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll sail. I'll do this. I'll do that. Oh, Lord, I'll bow my knee. I'll pray. I'll fast. I'll sing. I'll jump. I'll hoop. I'll holler. What does Glenn Miller mean? Meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. What do they mean, meetings at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? P.S. Brother Glenn, see you on Sunday morning if it's not raining. Commitment. It's funny, but it's true, you know. Some of us have got enough religion to make us uneasy in the world and then miserable in the church. What an existence, sitting on the fence, Christianity. But if you're going to be an overcomer for God, honey, you better get committed to something real quick. If the Camerons weren't committed to a great cause, we wouldn't be here today. Because I'll tell you, people say, what a glamorous life you Camerons live. We used to go home after 9 months traveling in America in a station wagon, 9 months continually. We would go home to Scotland and people say, how did you enjoy your holiday? How did you enjoy your vacation? We used to cringe. Ugh. We would be home, you know, dragging our feet home for a rest. And they'd be saying, how did you enjoy your vacation? People say, it's all right for you Camerons to jump about. It's easy to see you don't have any problems. We are here in spite of the problem. Because we are overcomers. Let's all stand our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really feel this word has been to some of you people here this morning. You've came to this convention. You've got here by the skin of your teeth. You've just made it. Circumstances have tried to dictate to you that you can't make it. But God has sent us along here this morning to tell you can make it. You have made it, and you're going to make it. Hallelujah. You're going to be an overcomer. You've been letting circumstances. You've lacked the confidence. You've lacked the cunning. You've lacked the courage. You've lacked the commitment. But from today on, you're going to take these principles, and you're going to put them into practice. Can I see your hand this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. I knew it. God wants to encourage the church. God spoke to Simon Peter and Luke. He says, hey, Simon, Simon. Satan had desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art strengthened, when thou art converted, completely turn around, strengthen the brethren. Hallelujah. And I believe that's what God has sent the Camerons in the body of Christ for. God has sent us here to encourage and to strengthen the brotherhood and the sisterhood. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because there's neither male nor female in the spirit. Amen? You're here this morning. We're going to just have a few minutes worship. And I just wanted to just to speak to that circumstances. Jesus say, I'm going to be an overcomer. Let's say, I'm going to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. I'm going to be an overcomer. God has made it possible. God has said it. I believe it. That settles it. Father, we just thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we are able to go up and take the country and to possess the land of Jordan to the sea. And though the giants may be there our way to hinder, God will surely give the victory. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning that you have encouraged our hearts. You have strengthened our spirits. And Lord, for no longer are we going to be the tail. But Lord, you said you're going to make us the head. Lord, no longer are we going to be poor in sin. But Lord, we're going to be prosperous in Christ. Hallelujah. Father, you're going to prosper us in health and in wealth and in happiness, Lord, and in strength. Father, we're going to go forth in the power of your might, knowing this, Lord, that it is you at work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And Father, we thank you this morning that you have made it possible through your plan of salvation for us to be overcomers, Lord, overcomers. Cause us, Lord, to reach out in faith and receive our inheritance of the saints. Hallelujah. Cause us, Lord, to reach out and receive what you have given for us, what you have died for us to have, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Bless you, Brother Graham.
Our lunch is ready. It'll be $2. There's soup, sandwich, salad, and pie. And I suppose they've got something to drink, too. That's not on here, but I assume that. So they're all ready for us. And we'll see you back at 2:30. Yes, Doc? Yes, where's that prayer cloth we passed around this morning? It never did get back to Doc. Somebody's got it. Okay. Doc, go back there and get it before anybody moves. Okay. Father, we thank you for your blessings amongst us. We thank you for the food. Make it health to our flesh. Renew us and strengthen us by it. We thank you for it. We come back to praise and worship you this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.